We all do this or what?
Heck yeah, we're going to do the damn thing. This is Doc Mike, the Redneck Dentist, here on Real Liberty Media. Join the conversation. Go to reallibertymedia.com. Get in the chat room there. Say hello and, you know, introduce yourself. Get to know some of these great people in the chat room. And it's a Wednesday night show, kind of to button up stuff. Unmute. Am I muted? Oh, my goodness. Oh, yeah, what's in here? Is the hang up. I have a signal there, so why don't I have it over here? Oh, this is why. For crying out loud. Oh my goodness, that was so stupid. Let's just make sure. All right, here we are. Hey, this is Doc Mike, the Redneck Dentist. Yeah, here on Real Liberty Media. Join the conversation. Get over to reallibertymedia.com. Get in the chat room there. And say hello, introduce yourself, and kind of check out all the great people in the chat. It's a great place to hang out all the time, not just during the show. But come on over, say hi. And tonight is a Wednesday night show. Going to wrap up some stuff we didn't get done on Saturday, and maybe some new and interesting stuff from the week. Man, I'll tell you. Hey, first of all, I have to announce that yesterday, when I came home for lunch, there was a big, giant truck in the road in front of my house, and a guy looking kind of lost. So I pulled in my driveway, and we have kind of one of these driveways with a half circle, so you can pull in, turn around, and go out. Not turn around, pull in, drive through, out you go. So anyway, he was kind of stopped between the two entrances or exits of the driveway, and he gets out of his truck and he says I have some car parts for you. And I just started laughing, and I said, oh, I said, you do? And he said, yeah, I do. He said, I was just wondering if it'd be okay if I can drive on your driveway. Which what he really meant was, is it okay if I drive over some of the grass? It's all pasture grass out here, you know. It's not like we do have one area that's really nicely manicured, not because of anything I've done, because my wife is awesome at that kind of stuff. And anyway, so sure enough, that guy pulled in and delivered the rear quarter panel fender for my 79 Chevy pickup, the farm truck, that's in the implement building that I've been waiting a couple years to get it put back together. And the fender has actually arrived. I have laid my hands on it. It actually exists. It's no more like Sasquatch. It actually can be verified that it exists. So that is awesome. It's kind of too bad it's late January, because now if I do go down there and work on the truck, it's going to be cold. But this weekend, actually, they're kind of saying it's going to be like 50 degrees during the day. That's kind of awesome. I'll believe it when I see it. But at least I can start getting that area set up down there in the implement building, because I got a lot of body work to do on that rig. And before I start putting everything back together, I'm going to put all the polyurethane spacers on it. Oh, let me just say this. Bear, the dog, the studio dog, literally broke a nail. Like, not broke a nail like, you know, we imagine breaking a nail. I mean, he snapped a nail off, and it was like a bloody, nasty break. I don't know how he did it. The dog runs all the time. He's like 9 years old, but he runs around like a puppy. I mean, that dog is so full of energy. Anyway, so he had to go to the vet today at 5, which was before I got off work, and my wife took him in, and she just pulled in the driveway. So it's going to get a little noisy here for a minute as Rochelle and Bear come in. There'll be like a little bit of ruckus. Don't worry about it. It's all good. But anyway, hopefully Bear's better now. I mean, he was better. He broke it over the weekend. What is this, Wednesday? Yeah, he broke it sometime. I don't know if he broke it Saturday or Sunday. But sometime on the weekend, I noticed he went to get a drink out of the fountain. And he was holding one foot up. And I kind of noticed him hobbling on it before. But, you know, anyway. He was getting a drink out of the fountain. I saw him pulling up, you know, his right hind leg up, and I was like, oh, that's kind of weird. And so when he came in, I kind of looked at it, and sure enough, that nail was busted, like in half. So I don't know what happened there, but hopefully, you know, it's something they can fix up. Anyway, he's going back in next week to get his teeth cleaned, so whatever. And, you know, of course, they kind of put him to sleep to do that. So I'm sure whatever they did today, they'll follow up next week, and that'll be good. And, oh, my goodness. You know, I'm I have been, anticipating this year because it's an election year. It's the midterm elections. You know, and a lot of us, you know, don't vote anymore. But I'm just waiting for the show, man. And the show started off this week so good. I'm actually just going to play this, and then we'll talk about it. I just thought this was so awesome. Where are you guys? Here we are. Let me just start this over. Oh, here we go.
They took a blood oath to protect America. They understand that the only easy day was yesterday. They know that our enemies are no match for their strength and their courage. These former Navy SEALs have protected America from enemies all over the world. Now they have one grave threat left to defeat. Join them.
Oh my God. I heard that commercial. There's like 6 Navy SEALs going to run for office. And now I know a lot of you are not, you know, voting anymore. I'm not voting anymore. I don't believe in that political system. That's not going to fix anything. But, oh, my God, I am dying to see this show start. So you can imagine 6 Navy SEALs running against whoever they're running against in whatever state they're running. I think it's like, I don't know, Minnesota. I don't even know what all states they're running. There's 6 different guys running for office. Now, you got to know that's got to terrify, especially with the way this administration has behaved in the first year and all the crap that has gone on. Just like every single administration, all the lies that we're told to get elected, and all the broken promises once they get into office, and now you got Navy SEALs running for office. And I think it was a great idea. Now, before we even get anywhere near those elections, just imagine the show that's going to happen in the, like, in the near future, within the next few weeks. You wait for all of the people to come out of the woodwork, all of the women who have been sexually harassed, supposedly, by these Navy SEALs, all of the comments that are going to be brought up that this person said this, you know, and he's a racist or, you know, a white supremacist or whatever. I'm just waiting for the stories to start coming out. And it, you can imagine, it is going to be just a hellacious show for the next, whatever it is, 10 months. Yeah, he threw a puppy off a cliff. You know, he killed some bad guys, or he killed some good guys, or he killed whatever he killed, period. That's what Navy SEALs do. I'm telling you, you know, those guys, I don't know if you guys ever have read what Navy SEALs go through. I mean, I was not a Navy SEAL, so I certainly can't speak from experience, but holy cow, those guys are brutally tough. Lone Survivor, if you get a chance to read that freaking book, it's pretty amazing. It is pretty amazing, the stuff. You know, what's really kind of amazing is that Lone Survivor, I mean, they only started with like three guys or four guys. I don't know, it was three or four guys who were, you know, like in enemy territory. And they were, you know, who knows what they were doing, but basically they were taking on hundreds of freaking Taliban or whatever. And I've always said, you know, pretty much, we could pretty much take any country in the world with about, I don't know, six Navy SEALs and a dozen Marines, something like that. That would do it. That's kind of a joke, but you know what I'm saying. Those guys are just tough as nails. Freaking brutally tough. But anyway, yeah, Navy SEALs go through a lot of stuff. So that's going to be fun. I don't know if I want to get into the serious crap right away. The other thing that was just incredible this week that really made me start laughing. I don't know how many of you guys have followed this, but apparently Neil Young has a problem with Joe Rogan. Now, it's kind of funny because I've actually talked to a couple people, and I asked this one patient today, I said, do you know who Neil Young is? And he started laughing. He started kind of talking about Joe Rogan being a guy who, you know, injected horse hormones or something. I don't know what. Which, so what? I mean, okay, whatever. But the current situation is Joe Rogan brings in like millions of viewers and dollars to Spotify. Neil Young, on the other hand, maybe 20 or 30 years ago, Now, Neil Young, great musician, right? Like some great music in his time, and probably was very influential in his time. Well, he gave notice to Spotify that either they take Joe Rogan off of Spotify because of the misinformation that Joe Rogan and his show spreads and the danger it puts people in, that they may actually take some advice from Joe Rogan and it will cause them harm. So Neil Young says, yeah, you either get rid of him or take all my music off of Spotify. I'm laughing because, like, most of people I know, if they are listening to Spotify, they're listening to Joe Rogan. They're not listening to Neil Young. I mean, I'm sure there's people who will listen to Neil Young today. I mean, good music. Oh, yeah, that's right. Rob Works says, I don't think Joe gave any advice at all. He just told his story. That's true, but here's the deal. I think what Neil Young is saying is that because Joe Rogan has people on his show that, like, he had Dr. Malone on. He had, you know, people on who talk about the dangers of vaccines, the dangers or the harm that's been done, and the alternative methods that you can use to protect yourself, you know, much like the crap that I say about, even about talking about tonic water and this colostrum I took, and just like keeping up on your nutrition, you know. But he has people on with some clout, you know. He has people on that, you know, are experts in their field, and then he just does interviews with them. And I think the thing that everybody loves about Joe Rogan is he doesn't take himself too seriously, but he's truthful, that he wants to know answers, and he has enough clout to get these people on his show and ask them those questions, and then lets them tell their story. And Rogan, yeah, he told his story about taking ivermectin, about being infected with COVID, and about, you know, what his journey was like. You know, we need more of that, not less. It's kind of crazy to me that Neil Young, being a product of the 60s, I think, basically. And, you know, like I said before, I don't know what happened to all these people, you know, who used to question everything, you know, question authority. And now they're just like lockstep, you know, just follow whatever authority says, because I guess they think they're authority now. Or maybe it's just convenient for them to follow authority now. It's really sad, though, to, you know, I was young enough that I wasn't really involved in that little, you know, I would call it a revolution of sorts. Revolution of thinking, revolution of minds. I mean, just think of it at the time. Okay, Vietnam, you know, people war, countries war. It's never going to end until, even when one country rules the entire world, there will still be war, because people always want what other people have. And the only way to really get it is by brute force, unfortunately. You know, you try and live in peace, and people are just going to, you know, run all over you. Although I guess there's a couple countries who've gotten by pretty good so far without engaging in a lot of wars. But, you know, back in the day, because I remember the whole hawks and doves arguments back then. You know, when I was growing up, I was a young man, and, you know, like most of my, those years between 0 and 16, 17, 18, you basically were thinking, okay, well, when I turn 18, I guess I got to enlist or dodge the draft or, you know, sign up for the draft or whatever. But I mean, basically, so my entire childhood, I mean, it wasn't like drilled into me, but, you know, it was kind of pervasive that, you know, I would be going to war. I was going to go serve my country and whatever. And then, you know, the 60s came along, and it was like, hey, what are we doing in Vietnam? Hey, what were we doing in Korea? Hey, why are we having all these wars? And what are we doing out there? You know, how are you treating people, you know, during war? You know, how are you treating the civilians that you come across, you know, in the war zone? And there was a lot of questioning going on about that authority. And it didn't really matter if it was Democrat or Republican. It was just like, hey, what are we doing and why are we doing it? And that's what really bothers me today, is like, why in the hell are we not questioning all that? How did all these people suddenly, like, go in a cave or something and just decide we're not going to question anymore what so-and-so says? I mean, fortunately, you know, there's still places like Real Liberty Media where you can hang out and, you know, talk to people who question authority and question everything and have kind of rational, you know, discussions about what's going on. I said kind of, that wasn't meant as any kind of an insult or anything. We have really good discussions about, you know, why things are happening, and a lot of people have a lot of knowledge, especially in our chat room, that they'll share with you. And I mean, I don't think they're mean either. I think people in the chat room are pretty factual and will, you know, kind of give you some information that you may not know. And by the way, we're going to have, it looks like, you know, we're starting to build up some, or at least talk to some people to come in and do some shows and more shows. And that's going to be fun to see that schedule kind of start filling up. We're also going to start that, the donation support Real Liberty Media. We're going to start that like in a week, I think. And so it's going to be fun. A lot of changes here. And I think Real Liberty Media is an awesome place to come and get information. And, you know, and to, you know, and to, you know, discuss stuff. And if you have an opposing view, you know, let it out. Let's talk about it. I don't believe I'm closed-minded. I like hearing all different sides. But anyway, wow, I got off on really off track on that, just get starting off with the Navy SEALs, but I just thought that was awesome. I guess seeing that. Nope, what I really wanted to talk about today, let me see, was there any other fun stuff? That was pretty fun. Freaking Neil Young. That was hilarious. Oh, poor Neil. Oh, yeah. Good Lord. I got a lot of bad news here. That's okay, though. You know, speaking of, you know, tyrants and people not questioning stuff, I was gonna, and I probably am in just a couple minutes, gonna talk about, whoops, sorry, hit the microphone. I hope that didn't make a hellacious sound. I was gonna talk about child abuse by the government and by governments in general. And I'm gonna get to some of that, but I wanna tell you something. Oh, I'm gonna play this one clip, and then, and this is probably, well, not truly indicative of what I want to talk about, but I mean, it's kind of on the path, and I thought it was kind of interesting, and I felt really, just listen to this, I'll be right back. It'll take a second to get going.
And I was wondering if y'all can explain to me how the policy and procedures are for the administrators to handle the situation. I don't know. Does anybody have any answers how the process works?
Mr. Dar, we typically don't go and have a back and forth here, but we're happy to take your comments by email or appointment and work with you on that.
That I don't understand. So where do you find the rules and regulations at? Where do the administrators from the school find the rules and regulations of what they're supposed to, like they have policies and procedures?
Mr. Dar, I can have someone work with you on that if you want to. Step over to the side, and they can go over where you can find all that.
So I want the public to know. That's why I come here, because I want the public to know.
So we won't be answering you, but you can certainly keep asking.
Well, I mean,
while you're standing,
I want to know the school's definition of sexual assault, because my daughter was told that she's standing right there that if it's above the clothes, it's not sexual assault, and that's the way the county does the kids here. It's messed up. That's my daughter. And no one wants to do nothing about it. Suspend the boy for one day for improper touching. And I don't think that's right. So somebody needs to do something. Somebody needs to look in the matter and do something, because there's more kids out there that y'all not doing nothing and letting stuff slide under. And the only person that's hurting is the kids. And I don't think it's right. Somebody needs to look into the matter and do what y'all need to do, because it, and I like to have an investigation, because
Because I'm pretty sure if it happened to her, it's happened to plenty of children here.
Man. I mean, first of all, did you notice, like, the deafening silence that was coming out of that board? It was so crazy. It was pretty amazing. Now, I've talked before about, like, in the past, how people would deal with things in the past. And I can't speak for this guy. I feel his pain. I have a couple thoughts on this whole matter. One is, you remember the Pound Me Too movement? Well, I call it Pound Me Too, but it's actually called Hashtag Me Too. You know, what must be excruciatingly painful for this man, number one, is that somebody fondled his daughter in public school, and for whatever reason, I don't know the details. I'm not going to say one way or another, but, you know, it seems to me he went there to find out what are the rules for sexual harassment here. You know, like, well, you know, where's the line? And the school told his daughter basically what the school is saying is, well, you can touch a girl's sexual parts or a guy's sexual parts as long as there's clothes in between your hand and their parts. It's not really sexual harassment. I'm fairly certain that's not what the Pound Me Too movement was about, or Hashtag Me Too movement. I'm sorry, it's a thing I... stupid thing I said. But it's just, is it ironic? I don't know. It's so crazy that we have these movements about, you know, respecting women and respecting boundaries. And then you have, like, this school board. Did you hear what the guy said, the guy on the board? And this was from a video. You can go watch it. It's astounding to me that those people, and I've seen it here in Oregon too. I'll tell you a story in a minute about what has happened here in Oregon the last couple of days. But these people sit behind that desk, this big, long desk in the front, you know, and here they're having this, you know, public meeting, you know, where they get input from the public. And then they tell this guy, well, we're not going to answer you. You can keep asking, but we're not going to answer you. We don't have back and forth here. That's not what we're here. We're sitting up here on the throne, and you're standing down there in the, you know, pit. And yeah, we don't do back and forth here. And I'm thinking back to my childhood, like, you know, 50 years ago. Okay, more than that. I can tell you that my father, honest to God, my mother would have gone down to that freaking school board, and maybe nobody would have lived. That's an exaggeration. But she would have been that mother bear that you don't want to get between her and her cubs. And she would have let... this is the problem, I think, today. These people, the tyrants, basically, I'm talking about, they're just doing this stuff because nobody... It's like we're all... is it beaten into submission because everybody's afraid to assault somebody? And I'm not calling for anybody to go out and assault anybody, but I'm just saying, like 55, 60 years ago, I know my stepfather would have gone down, and if he didn't get some answers, somebody would have got him beaten. And I can tell you, my mom would have pretty much done the same thing, probably not physically. She would have given some verbal tongue lashings that, you know, would have left a mark, for sure. And yeah, I mean, When has it been left up to a school board to decide what's sexual harassment and what isn't? I mean, that's assault. It's assault. I understand, man. Kids do kid stuff. I get that. But if it's unwelcome, somebody's got to do something. Somebody's got to get involved. Or it's just going to keep happening. And, you know, these kids, it kind of scares me. It kind of bothers me in a way. I don't even have kids in public school anymore. And thank God my grandkids are not in public school. Which, you know, there's arguments for going to public school and not going to public school. But it's worrisome to me that those people are in charge, are responsible for educating children during the day, and that they somehow allow this kind of stuff to go on. I mean, wasn't it Loudoun County School District or something like that? Didn't a girl get raped in a restroom? And it was kind of the same thing. Like, nobody did anything about it. Like, it took a while before attention was brought to this whole idea. Or was that the transgender guy who was in the restroom and assaulted this girl? And then they found out he wasn't transgender at all. He just wanted to be transgender so he could be in the girls' restroom so he could assault girls. But, I mean, here's the problem. Is that what is going... I was listening to... I don't even know what it was. It was some school board. You know, like I say, I watch the local news to kind of keep up on what's going on in this area. Oh, I know, it was mask mandates. So there were some parents that were attending a school board meeting in Oregon, probably somewhere around Portland, because, out here, you know, probably, I can't imagine there would be a school board meeting out here in Sheridan, Oregon, and, you know, if parents showed up and said, hey, we're not doing the mask mandate, the teachers probably say, yeah, you're right, we're not doing this, and they would just not do it. Although there was a thing in LC County in Northwest Oregon here, a school superintendent who's also going to run for office this year, he just said to hell with the mask thing in schools. You can wear them or not. We're not doing that anymore. And then now it's like the state attorney general got involved and said, oh, you got to force them to wear a mask because that's Oregon's policy. And then what I was trying to get at is there was a school board meeting about mask mandates, and teachers showed up to protest the mask mandates. And these school board members, I kid you not, were acting like the tyrants who were in the governments who were handing out all these mandates. And they were telling these parents, you know, that, well, we're going to, you know, if you don't sit down, we're going to have order in this meeting, or we're going to stop the meeting, or we're going to have you escorted. I mean, I was thinking to myself, man, you're a freaking teacher. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but you're a teacher. You're not a cop. You know, you don't have any authority, you know, to, you know, like tell somebody to shut up or be quiet, or we're going to have order in this meeting. You know, I said before in the last couple of shows, I'm glad that people have been exposed. I'm glad that all of these people have, you know, put their activities, their actions out there so that we know who they are, what they stand for, and what they're willing to do once they've been given a little bit of power. But these school boards, I'm telling you, today when I was kind of thinking about, you know, doing this show tonight, I went and looked. I just went and, no, I didn't Google. I YouTubed a bunch of basically school board meetings. And I'm not kidding. I sat for like, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes with my jaw just hanging open listening to these school board members There was even one, wish I would have saved it to play it for you. It was so outrageous. And I'm just going to tell you what I saw. I don't know exactly what happened, but I'll tell you what I saw. There was a big cabinet full of school board members in the front. Just like always, they're all sitting in the front of these big, beautiful desks. And then they have these really crappy tables and chairs for people in the public to come sit in. And there was a guy there, and he was white, obviously a white guy. And one of... Oh, no, we're not taking a break right now, I'm sorry. Nope, not going to do it. Anyway, so there was this guy, I don't know who he was, he must have been somebody important, and one of the guys that who was, you know, presenting was talking about, I guess there was some debate about the school's performance in these national tests or state board, I don't know, testing. And I think the one guy was a teacher, and he asked the guy on the school board said something about, you know, we have to close down the school because your scores aren't, you know, haven't been that good, and it's, you know, we're failing at performance. And the guy, the teacher, asked the board member, he said, well, listen, he said, you already told these students that you were going to close down this school, and then you send them directly in to take these tests. Now, he said, don't you think that if these students were going in to take this test immediately after you told them you were going to close down the school, I mean, what reason do they have to perform well on the test? Now, I don't know if that's a strong argument or a weak argument or whatever, but the guy on the board said something to the guy asking the question. He said something like, well, you know, your English conversation scores are so low, I doubt that your students could actually read something. There was an announcement that was in the newspaper. Now, that was the white guy on the board talking to one of the black teachers. And then it looked to me like, oh, maybe the school has a large minority of blacks. Because then this teacher was pissed. And yeah, it sounded really racist. And I thought to myself, how could you be in a position where you think that that comment was okay? Like, you're on the school board. Like, isn't it your job to kind of make sure that, you know, all those things happen correctly? Like, you provide enough services that students get taught correctly, properly, that, you know. And here you are sitting up here criticizing this teacher about his students not being able to read a newspaper. And what was funny is there just so happened to be a student there with a newspaper clipping that he wanted to read to the board. But my point is, in this last 2 years, you see even freaking school board members have like donned this tyrannical, you know, thing where they just think they can say and do anything. Man, I would be so pissed off if my daughters were sexually assaulted at school. Yeah, I would be one of those that would be taken out in cuffs. There's no doubt in my mind. I've actually done something like that before where I got taken out in cuffs. It was much more drastic than that, unfortunately, but... yeah, I think they're getting away with it because nobody's just going and giving them a good beating. And the sad thing is, I was watching some story, I don't even know where, because I didn't get time to watch, you know, I come home from work on Wednesday to do this show, and man, I am kind of gunning to get it started right at 6, so didn't have time to watch anything here, but what was I going to say? Oh, crap. I was watching... Yeah, lost it. I went off in the weeds somewhere. Anyway, it'll probably come back to me or not. Who really cares? Oh, my goodness. Oh, God, I wish I could remember what that was. It don't matter. Okay, I want to read a couple things here. Oh, so you guys all saw the video or photo of a teacher taping a mask on a student. I mean, seriously, this is exactly what I'm talking about. Like, who do you think you are that you could literally tape a mask on a student? And why would you do that? You know, a lot, I've been saying, well, I've been on Real Liberty Media for almost a year now, and probably it was a couple months into this whole thing last year when I started saying, we're not going to know everything that we should know about COVID and masks and mandates and keeping healthy. We're not going to know for years when more studies are done, when the results start happening, when we actually have statistics that mean anything. I was looking at Kaiser Permanente today, and I wasn't even 100% sure if the whole country knows who Kaiser Permanente is. I don't even know if it's outside of this country or if it's only in this country. For a while, I thought it was only on the West Coast. And why I was looking into Kaiser Permanente is because I see them bring out these medical experts, and this really drives me crazy. So they say, oh, so-and-so is, you know, the medical expert from Kaiser Permanente, and it's almost like this PSA they're doing about how safe vaccines are, and, you know, how you don't have to worry about fertility with this vaccine, and, you know, yeah, it's true that there could be some side effects, but they're so rare. But here's the problem. They don't know. They will not know how this juice has affected people for years, because it takes years before you use this kind of thing on a population, because you have to find out what happens to animals and people when they get this juice. And we didn't do that. None of that was done. So for people like Kaiser Permanente, who's, you know, some people say are respected, well, used to be a respected medical entity, for them to just get on the bandwagon and sell this thing, you know, like they're experts, and they couldn't possibly be experts. There are no experts. None. We haven't had time to create experts. Frustrating. It's frustrating as hell. Not that the medical field has had, you know, has like ever skyrocketed to the heights of respect in anybody's eyes, but I mean, you know, I used to think, especially some of these, you know, even though they're, you know, the institutions of higher learning are all on the dole because they have to do certain studies. I mean, look at cannabis, for example. Cannabis could not be studied for, what, 70 years, 80 years? You couldn't study cannabis or the effects of cannabinoids in the human body, even though we have cannabinoid receptors in our body. You couldn't study cannabis at an institution that took public funds because it was a federally controlled substance and nobody would approve. Well, very few places got approval to do studies with cannabis, but it was something that you just avoided like the plague because you would lose research dollars if you did any of those studies. Now that cannabis is being legalized in many different states and there are institutions who are actually studying what THC does and CBD does, we're actually going to have some answers that people have known for millennia. But we're actually going to have, you know, the statistics to prove that cannabinoids do certain things to the human body. And why do we have cannabinoid receptors in our bodies if we weren't meant to use, you know, cannabis? With this vaccine, no experts with this vaccine. There can't be any experts because it's so new. Malone's probably the closest thing to being an expert because he developed that platform, he says. And he says, don't take it, basically. I don't know really that he says don't take it. I think he really points out how little we know about it. Anyway. Yeah. People with power. People given the littlest bit of power. And see, the problem is? The problem is that because, you know, the administration basically hands down the punishments to people who are not vaccinated or who are anti-vaxxers, then you get school board members or members of certain medical groups or whatever take on that authority knowing that, well, the cops are going to come and, you know, they'll arrest the unvaccinated. Or, you know, the government, you know, especially like here in Oregon, well, Kate Brown and, you know, Wheeler in Portland, the mayor of Portland, they're all going to support the vaccinated and those who promote vaccination. So if there's any kind of, you know, disagreement and somebody's going to get loud, where they're going to take away the unvaxxed people and the anti-vaxxers. Yeah, thank you, Kate. Yeah, I saw that. He was vaccinated, and I think he still got COVID, didn't he? I was pretty sure he did. But, kind of what I'm getting at, I didn't even get to the real abuse that we're talking about with our kids, and we're going into, like, the last 5 minutes of the show. So we'll probably do this on Saturday. I'll cover this a little bit. Because it's not all about just a vaccine. It really isn't. I mean, we're really looking at the damage that we've done. Just imagine this. 2 years. So any child below, let's say, the age of 16. So 2 years of their lives, they've been in some kind of hostage situation, basically. They've been told that they can't socialize with other people. They've been had their schools closed down. They've had these freaking masks on their faces for 2 years. They just imagine this now. So when I was in high school, I had some interest in biology and I was kind of studying about, you know, getting bugs, getting building up your immune system. I have so much personal stuff to tell you. I'm not going to tell you because you're going to think I'm crazy. Maybe on Saturday I'll include it. But let's just say this. So I did stuff that would challenge my immune system because I wanted my immune system to be strong even as a kid. I was like, oh, okay. Well, if our immune system only gets stronger by being exposed to stuff so it can develop a response, then I want to get, you know, my immune system strong. Well, just think in the next 3 to 5, 10 years of the things that we've done. Now, I'll be honest with you. When our grandkids went to public school, because they come up here pretty much every day, when they went to public school, my wife and I knew, like, okay, well, they're, you know, they're going to be bringing bugs home left and right. So we've got to constantly be on the lookout, you know, because we're going to get sick. But that's how kids develop their immune system. Now, for 2 years, we have kept all children who have been in public school. Well, one, we've kept them out of public school. We've kept them out of the population. We've prevented them from being exposed to bugs that would help boost their immune system. So now not only, well, are they weak? Not even if they were weak to COVID, it doesn't matter because COVID's not going to kill them. You know, they're young and strong. They're going to survive COVID. But no, we prevented them from getting COVID. We prevented them from getting the flu. We prevented them from getting colds. We prevented them from being exposed to all of the crap that you're supposed to get exposed to so you have a healthy immune response in the future. We've taken that away. We've isolated them in their house, in their rooms. We've stuck them in front of these screens that have blue light. That blue light is, you know, hypnotizes you and does stuff to your brain. And we've done that to them for 2 years. Oh, thanks, phone. The things that we are not going to know for years to come, I think are amazing. I think it's going to blow us away how much damage we see done to all generations, though. Because the people who have been vaxxed, they say they expect like it was some huge number of people to be dead in the next 3 years from the vaccines. Which I think, you know, like, there's a lot of people who say, yeah, that's what their plan was, to reduce the population. Who knows? Maybe we're going to have World War III and that's going to reduce some of the population too. I don't know. But it's crazy. And I think some of the stuff that I have to share with you on Saturday is going to cover like a lot of the damage that we've seen, the damage that we've done that we haven't seen and we will see in the next few years. Mainly just isolating people, kids, not letting them grow naturally. It's really sad what the government has done. It's really sad what the tyrants have gotten away with. When you see it from the school administration on up, from the teachers on up, hell, we had teachers here who opposed this, school district superintendent who said, we're not wearing masks anymore. What was really sad is almost 60% of the parents said that, you know, they wanted masks to be mandatory in schools. And I was thinking to myself, okay, so tell your kid to wear his mask at school. I mean, this isn't difficult. Okay, you want mask mandatory, then tell your kid to wear a mask. You know, if you actually believe that mask works, then have your kid wear a mask. Then you can be responsible for your kid's health, which you should be anyway, instead of the government. But I think the mandates and the forced cooperation with the mandates is going to see a lot of things happen to these kids in the next 5 and 10 years, and maybe throughout their lives. I think the damage is going to be pretty significant. Anyway, 7 o'clock. Hope you guys enjoyed the show. We are going to, I think, have a Friday night little bit of an update with Vinny. I'll host a little bit. I think he asked me to host last night, so as far as I know, that's what we're going to do. I will see you guys Friday. Well, really, Vinny will see you Friday, and I will see you guys Saturday. Thanks for listening. And what are we going to go out with? Oh, this is always good.